So these are the very last verses at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Telling of the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Thinking today for the next few weeks under this theme of making progress. And we need to be reminded to make progress in our Christian lives. Not to let things slip, not to let things go, not to stand still for too long, but always to be following after Jesus. Because the single command that is given to each one of us is what Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And so we journey in our Christian lives, forever following after Jesus. Wherever he leads us, that's where we go. And these words, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And particularly today, highlighting the idea of authority. I find it interesting that right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus is recorded as saying his final words to his disciples, what are the words that he speaks to them? You know what it's like when somebody leaves you, they're going on a journey, they go off to work, you remember most likely their last words. Last words are important. You can probably go on the internet and look up famous last words. We like to note that kind of thing down. Famous last words. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Why was it that Jesus said that to his disciples? And why is that important for us as we think and begin to think about making progress and continuing to make progress in our Christian lives? It seems to me that it makes sense to look at authority and reflect on it. It matters to us for two very straightforward reasons. The first is to do with command. The second is to do with promise. Has anybody ever told you what to do? Has anybody ever told you what to do and they're not your husband or your wife? That's who you were thinking of. But has anybody told you what to do? Just do this. It's probably true for all of us at one time or another. We've been told what to do. Authority is critical. Because sometimes our instinctive response when we are told what to do, perhaps when we're not looking to be told what to do, one of the critical things we respond with is, "Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me that I should do this or I shouldn't do that? That I should stop or I should start? Or that I should go here or go there? That I should live my life in this particular way? Who do you think you are?" And we probably sometimes say it far stronger than that. Who do you think you are? No. Authority is key. Who gave you the right to speak to me like that? To tell me what to do? And when we say that, what we're really saying is, who gave you the authority to direct me? There are many commandments that we are given in the scriptures. The most important of all, of course, are repeated by Jesus. Love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbour as you love yourself. There are many other commandments. many other directions and instructions that are given to us in the scriptures, but that is the most important. Love God with your heart, mind, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Who is Jesus to tell us that that is what we should do? Who is Jesus to think that he has the right to direct our lives in that particular way, to say to us, this is how you should live your life? That you should live your life, firstly, loving God. Secondly, loving yourself. Thirdly, loving others. Why does it go in that order? Well, love God first. But the commandment is love your neighbour as you love yourself. In the same way that you love yourself, love your neighbour. If you're not loving yourself very well, how well are you going to love your neighbour? Not very well. So we love God first, then you must love yourself. You must look after yourself and care for yourself, and then you will love your neighbour well. And that is the key. That sums up all the other commandments. But who is Jesus to think that he can direct any of us? Surely we can choose for ourselves how we live our lives. And in a sense, yes, we can. But Jesus here, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, makes this claim. All authority in heaven and on earth. There is no authority outside of me. All authority has been given to me. So at this point, he could have said, all authority has been given to me. I can say what needs to be said. Love God. Love yourself. Love your neighbour. Live following this. Authority is key when we think about commands. And who is telling us what we should do? The second is promise. There are many promises in the scripture where God says, this is who I am for you. This is what I will do for you. In the passage, the verses that we read just a few moments ago, of course, the very last phrase, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Other promises that occur to us in scripture, just call them out. I know your mind's gone blank. Just think about it. What promises are there in the Bible?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will
direct you around the banks. Okay, Proverbs 6.
My God shall supply all your needs.
Pardon?
My God shall supply all
my needs. My God shall supply all my needs.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah. I will never leave you, Lord.
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
I will be with you to the end of time. I'll be with you till the end
of time. I will be with you till the end of time.
Ask and you will receive.
Ask and you'll receive.
Be anxious about nothing.
Be anxious about nothing.
Seek and you shall find.
Seek and you shall find. Okay, you see, when you start thinking about it, actually there's a lot there, isn't there? And when we read the Bible, sometimes a good thing to do is, is there in the passage that I've read for today, are there any promises? But here's the thing. Why is authority important? It's important for command. Who do you think you are? Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore I can say what I'm going to say. It's important for promise. If somebody promises you something, the key question is, can you deliver on your promise? Can you deliver on your promise? You ever been promised something and not got it? Sometimes the reason why, having been promised, we don't receive what has been promised by somebody else is because they should never have promised in the first place. Because they can't deliver whatever it is. And this is a big thing as parents. Don't you promise your kids all sorts of things? Immaterial things. And that you try for the rest of your life to deliver on what you promised. But have you the resources? Do you have what it takes to deliver? All the promises that we've just quoted in the Bible from God. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I will promise because I'm able to deliver. Because all authority has been given to me, I can do it. There is nothing outside of me. but I can't give to you. I can do it. And so, why is it important? If we're to make progress, it's as if we need to begin on the foundation stone, at the beginning, on the starting blocks, and say, okay, if I'm going to make progress, I need to be reassured about this. I need to be reassured that God has the right to tell me what to do. And he has given that right, that authority to Jesus. And if Jesus directs me, then he has the right to do that. He has the authority to do it. But also, we need at the starting blocks, at the beginning, if we're to make progress, the reminder that if there is a promise, can Jesus deliver on the promise? And so he says at the end of Matthew's Gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, I'm going to take you on a very quick journey. Okay? Picking up these five words. Resurrection, king, authority, love, and freedom. To see how it works, how do we get to the point at the end of Matthew's Gospel that he can say those words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Resurrection, king, authority, love, freedom. Very quickly. First of all, God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we've just celebrated at Easter. The climactic events leading up to Good Friday, when Jesus was arrested, put on trial, and then crucified. He was left dead on the cross until his friend Joseph and also Nicodemus come to the cross, and they take his body down and they bury his body in a tomb, in Joseph's tomb, and they leave him there. The Saturday is all quiet. But the Sunday morning, when Mary goes to the tomb, to her surprise, perhaps even to her horror, she discovers that the tomb is empty. Questions abound. Peter and John run to the tomb to look. Is it true that the body is missing? Fearing that the body has been stolen, they worry. But Jesus appears to Mary. Jesus appears to the disciples. Jesus appears to others. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that at one time Jesus appeared to a group of 500 all in one place. And the reminder to them all was, this is not a ghost you're looking at. I am real. Somehow it is bodily, physical. This is really me. I'm different. I've changed. But this really is me. Just as a slight tangent, I was asked for Good Friday. Every year you may know that churches together do the Walk of Witness. A number of you have been on that Walk of Witness on Good Friday, where we carry the cross through the town. We stop at various places and sing a hymn and recite scripture and so on. And I actually put the liturgy together, I don't know, about 10 years ago or something. And I was asked, would you redo it? And so I redid it. Now, I know that there are other people in the town who would call themselves Christians who would deny that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead. And so I put in the liturgy... And at one point we stopped, and I can't remember, we believe in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so on and so on. We believe God raised Jesus bodily from the dead. And I thought, this is great. Because they're all saying stuff they're not sure about. But I was just kind of hoping, sneaking it in there. But that's just an aside. The resurrection. God raised Jesus bodily from the dead. It's important that we understand he was raised bodily from the dead. If it was just spiritually, then it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because, you know, it was claimed that the emperor who had died, Augustus, had been raised spiritually from the dead. It doesn't matter. Because you and I can just dismiss it and say, well, you believe it. I don't. It's okay. If somebody's raised bodily from the dead, it changes the world. Everything changes. And so authority goes back to the resurrection, goes back to this historical fact. God raised Jesus from the dead. But on top of that, having raised Jesus from the dead, God appointed Jesus as king. In Philippians chapter 2, there is a description there of the humility of the Lord Jesus. How he humbled himself and came to earth as a human being, humbled himself as a man, as a servant, even to die on the cross. Therefore, it says, God exalted him. God, having raised him from the dead, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. God raised Jesus from the dead, bodily, literally raised him from the dead. Having raised him from the dead, God said, Jesus, I'm going to give you the highest place. We might imagine that heaven is full of thrones, of people in glory. Think about the saints being given their crowns as they have triumphed in life. There is one crown, there is one throne that is above all others. And we're told that that is the throne of Jesus. He is the King above all other kings, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God raised Jesus from the dead, exalted him to the highest place and declared, Jesus, you are King. Having done that, God gave all authority to Jesus. Raised him from the dead, gave him the highest throne and said, now Jesus, it's for you to rule as King over all of creation. All authority is given to you. You can do whatever you desire. Whatever it is you want to do, Jesus, you have the authority to do it. Whatever you want to do, you have the right to do it. It's a big thing. It's a bold thing for God to give to Jesus, his beloved son. All authority in heaven and on earth. But the rule of Jesus is love. Jesus administers his authority by love. It does concern me sometimes how in churches we get into such a mess, and sometimes it's reported in the press that churches are doing this or that or other. You know, we're falling out with one another about this doctrine and that doctrine and the other. And you just go, come on, what's it all about? The rule of Jesus is administered by love. He demonstrates his authority in love. He could do whatever he pleased, but what he pleases is love. To always live in love, to administer love at every turn. So when we begin our journey, we need to be reminded about the authority that has been given to Jesus. It's to do with the commands of Jesus. Anything Jesus tells us to, he has the right to. Anything Jesus promises, he can deliver. How is that so? Because God raised him from death, gave him the highest place, the highest throne, and gave him all authority, gave him the right to do whatever he desired to do. But Jesus always administers his authority with love. And so we should never be afraid of anything Jesus ever commands us to do. We should never be afraid, even though it may take us out of our comfort zone and away from what is familiar to us, because Jesus administers his rule, his authority in love. We will experience God's love in moving as Jesus directs us by his authority. The fifth is freedom. Life in Jesus is a life of freedom. Somebody once, perhaps outrageously, said, love God and do whatever you want. That's big, isn't it? Love God and do whatever you want. Because if we set that right, love God, we will do everything well. We will love as God loves. So this beginning place, the authority, it matters. Command and promise. How is it that Jesus can claim this? It is because God has raised him from the dead, given him the highest throne, given all authority to him. And Jesus, as he administers his rule as the king, does so in love. And that love brings freedom. How does the love of Jesus bring freedom? So often we might resist what Jesus has for us. And we might find it difficult. We might argue against it. But always Jesus, because he's the first and the last, beginning and the end, he knows the end from the beginning. And he says, look, if you want to experience life to the full, you need to step away from where you are to a new place. And it might be tough. But in love, just come on, follow after me. And you'll experience a wonderful freedom as you begin to follow. Even though we resist terribly sometimes. Because Jesus loves us. And he will never do anything that is not compassionate and kind. So today, encouragement is to remember these words about authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, said Jesus. And we'll pause there and let's take a moment to pray. Just as we're still for a moment, I want to just say to you, while I was speaking, reflecting, it may be that you've been prompted by God about something you need to do. Maybe that God has already told you to do it. Jesus has already called you to follow in a particular way and you've resisted. It may be something new, but maybe that you just need to note it down and say, how do I do that? How do I make progress in that particular way? Let's pause for a moment for prayer. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are King. You are King over all, because your Father, having raised you from the dead, gave you the highest throne. But Lord Jesus, we declare that you are our King. We accept you as our King. We acknowledge your authority over us. And we know that your directing of us is full of love. Help us to follow wherever you lead. Help us to have courage, knowing that you are with us. Help us to live the life that is free, uninhibited by the nonsense and the trash of life. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and enable this word to be a living word within us. In Jesus' name, Amen.